It's beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Then whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, friends, we have another worship service here today, and I believe that the greatest thing we can do on earth is to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's what He's put us here for, to worship Him. Sometimes we get caught up in the cares of this world, and we let the weeds come up and even take over our spiritual garden. We don't tend it very well. Well, you know, God has put us here to tend to that spiritual garden. We should be tilling it. We should be making sure that, the bugs and the weeds stay out of it, and make sure it's got plenty of good fertilizer. And, well, how do you enrich it? What is fertilizer spiritual-wise? Well, it's prayer. It's communication with God and reading His Word. And I believe that God has put a deep love and abiding for His Word in the hearts of His people. And His people, my friend, are Christians, those who believe in and trust Him and are born again, according to John chapter 3, verse 3, in spirit and in truth. Well, today we're going to continue our series entitled The Millionaire from Nazareth, and 1,001 Other False Jesuses. You know, that's a very strange title. The Millionaire from Nazareth and 1,001 Other False Jesuses. You see, the devil does not come to you with horns and fiery eyes and a green face and a forked tail. He doesn't come to you as evil. Sometimes he comes to you as Jesus. But a false Jesus, a counterfeit Christ, that's exactly what the Antichrist is going to be, a counterfeit Christ. So it's not enough to say, I believe in Jesus, although, of course, you know, what more wonderful thing could a person say? But it is necessary to believe in the true and the real Jesus. You know, not too long ago, a man named Walter Martin had a ministry out in California, and he passed away, had a heart attack. And I don't know, some people got things mixed up. The name Mars and Martin, they got confused. And we began to get letters of condolences in. We're so sorry to hear about Brother Mars passing away. And, somebody had got it wrong. It wasn't Mars, it was Martin. And it reminded me of Mark Twain's old letter to the editor of the New York Times. He stayed back in his native Missouri. He didn't get out much with the so-called literati in New York and San Francisco and other places, I guess. I don't know about San Francisco. I know New York and Philadelphia and those areas. And word got around, rumors had traveled, that Mark Twain had died. And finally, he had had enough of it, and he wrote a letter to the editor of the New York Times, and he said, quote, "The reports of my death are grossly exaggerated." Well, I felt the same way about the reports of my death. Now, there are some people out there, enemies of God, who wish I were dead, but I'm not dead yet. I'm still alive through Jesus Christ's great favor, and we're going to continue here in the ministry until Jesus takes me up, not when the world says I'm finished, but only when Jesus takes me up to be with Him. And I trust that you feel the same way. You know, when the enemies of God come against you, well, just remember, we're all in the very palm of God's hand. Now, Before we continue that message, the millionaire from Nazareth and 1,001 other false Jesuses, we're going to have some music today. Very beautiful, a tune by the Cathedrals. And, you know, the title is very appropriate to the message we're preaching today, which is the title, that is, of the song, At the Name of Jesus. So first we're going to have At the Name of Jesus by the Cathedrals, and then you'll hear Tex Mars as we continue our worship service and our look into the millionaire from Nazareth and 1,001 other false Jesuses.
At the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, since chains are broken, the captive is set free. At the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, hell tremble and save us. Sorrows and fears pass away. Heartaches soon vanish and burdens cast away. Oh, the heart that's been broken and wounded by sin. When you call his name, at the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, since chains are broken, the captive is set.
Oh! Let's look at some other Jesuses. I'm looking at a book catalog. Global Insights is a New Age organization. And there's a couple of books in here to tell you about a new Jesus. One is called Jesus Lived in India, His Unknown Life Before and After the Crucifixion. Let me read to you the description of this book. Obviously, a lot of people are buying this. It says, this compelling book presents irrefutable evidence that Jesus did indeed live in India, dying there in old age. Well, let's stop right there. Obviously, they don't believe that Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected. They believe he lived in India and he died there in his old age. Well, goes on to say, the result of years of exhaustive research, Jesus Lived in India takes the reader to all the historical sites connected with Jesus. Theologian Holger Kirsten points to the following startling conclusions: that Jesus studied Buddhism in India. Jesus survived the crucifixion. Jesus was actually buried in Srinagar, the capital of Kashmir, where the tomb of Jesus still exists, and more. You know, there's several books like this. There's The Lost Gospels of Jesus. Elizabeth Clare Prophet of the Church Universal and Triumph, and another New Age-oriented church, also says that Jesus went to India and that Jesus traveled across the mountains of India and Pakistan and ended up in Tibet. And there he studied under the Dalai Lama and learned everything that he knew as a young boy and was able to come back and be the Christ because of what he learned from the Dalai Lama. And I'll tell you something, if you've ever seen this Dalai Lama of today, who's the reincarnated Dalai Lama, supposedly, if you've ever watched him on TV, I'd have to say the guy is a, well, I don't want to tell you but what I think, but the guy, I really think he's mentally retarded. And there's nothing wrong with mentally retarded unless they're spiritually misguided, and he's misguided and mentally retarded. Watch him, and he laughs, and he smiles, and he says absolutely nothing, and people in the audience go gaga, because, after all, he's the God-man. He's the Dalai Lama of Tibet. Oh, that may be one of the only things that the communists did right when they took Tibet, was to send the Dalai Lama into exile. I mean, how many people there have been saved because this strange, mentally retarded Dalai Lama came to America, and now hundreds of thousands of Americans believe in Dalai Lamaism. Tibet may have actually been lucky to go to be communist, considering the alternative. Sort of like, you know, the devil's Hobson's choice. Communism or the Dalai Lama? I don't know which one I would take, and thank God through Jesus Christ, I don't have to make a choice. Well, let's talk about some more Jesuses. My good friend who puts out the Sword of the Lord, the Sword of the Spirit newsletter from Grand Junction, Colorado, Larry Hall, talked about the Mormon Jesus recently. He says, idolatry within Mormonism must be just as grievous to the Lord as it was in ancient Judah. They worship, he said, a limited God of flesh and bones. The Mormon God, and friends, this is all true, the Mormon God is a created being living on a distant planet. He was once a man, and he had a father who was also a created being, who also became a God. Hall says the Mormon God is limited in knowledge and is still progressing to perfection. Hall goes on to point out that if you're a good Mormon and faithful and you have good works, you can become a God too. And you can be assigned your own planet to rule over. By the way, Jesus is a God with many wives. And one of the wives that the Father God had was up in heaven with him. And that wife gave birth to a child named Mary. Yes, Mary, the spirit child of Mary, was born through sex in heaven between the Father God and one of his many wives in his harems, I guess you could call it, his celestial wives. Now, I want you to understand this. Mary came into being because God had sex with a woman. That's what they teach. Now, this Mary lived in an earthly tabernacle of flesh, quote unquote. And then this God came to heaven and had sex with to earth and had sex with her. Let me say all this again. I may have you confused. First of all, God in heaven had sex with one of his wives, and thus was born the spirit child named Mary on earth, encased in flesh. And then later, God came to earth and had flesh with Mary. So in other words, he had incest with his own daughter in Mary. And through this ancestral relationship with Mary on earth, God and Mary, his daughter, gave birth to Jesus, his son. Jesus, of course, was a man who had to earn his godhood and had done so, and he was born again in spirit here on earth. And so the Father God and Jesus are separate from each other. And that's why Mormons believe that, you know, there's no such thing as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the sense that we as Christians do. We believe there's only one God, we as Christians. One God. He may have three forms, you can call them whatever you want, aspects or personalities or entities, you know, because really we have no name. A lot of people just call them persons, although I don't really like that because how can God be a person? God is a spirit. Nevertheless, we know that God is three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but these three are one. Now, always remember that. First John will tell you about that. There are three that bear record, and these three are one. A lot of people talk about the Trinity, but they don't believe that the Trinity is one. A lot of people talk about the one, but they don't believe that there's God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. I'm convinced the Bible says very clearly there are three that bear record in heaven and these three are one. And that's an equation and you can't leave out either side. Yes, there's one God and yes, God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I never even use the term Trinity. I really don't. It's just confusing to people because they believe the Trinity is three persons. But the Holy Spirit cannot be a person. And God, Jesus said, is spirit, and you must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so it gets very confusing if you use human terms. But accept that God is spirit, and that there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who are all one with God, and they are God. And you'll do a lot better, my friend, believe me, because you'll be biblical. But here the Mormons are, and so God visited earth for the purpose of having sexual relations with Mary, the spirit child of his. No wonder the Mormons are so mixed up. But remember, they will all say we believe in Jesus. He's God. And they do. He's God of this planet earth. But there are billions of other planets, and so there must be billions of other gods. One of the Mormon sayings is this: as man is, God once was. As God is, man shall become. What does that mean? It simply means that they're saying that Jesus was once just a man. He wasn't God in the flesh. He was just a man. But he earned his godhood and became God. And you too can become a God. And that's why my good friend Ed Decker wrote the book called The God Makers. That's what the Mormons are. They're God makers. And of course, the ancient gods of Greece, Rome, and Egypt and Babylon had many wives. And that's why they teach many wives. This is right out of paganism. It's right out of Egypt. No wonder Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, was a Mason. He got in a little bit of trouble with his Mason brothers, though, when he founded the Mormon religion. And they said, hey, you've stolen all of our ideas. You've stolen all of our holy teachings from the lodge of Freemasonry for your Mormon religion. And there was a real conflict between Joseph Smith. He liked Masonry so much he stole the ideas from it and founded his own religion. And that gives you a little idea, doesn't it, what the Masons teach, right? No wonder they accept Joseph Smith as one of the greater Masons who ever lived. Well, Jesus Christ. Who really is Jesus? Not too long ago, a man has he calls himself a Reformed Baptist or something. He's out of Pasadena, Texas. He wrote me a vicious letter, and he told the whole world that Tex-Mars does not believe that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. Well, of course, that was a lie, but come to find out, I don't believe the way this man does. You see, this man believed that Jesus was always in the flesh in heaven. Always in the flesh. That there was in heaven a God who is spirit, a Jesus who was flesh, and then the Holy Spirit. That was the only way I could assume this man believed. And you know, he was going around a lot of Baptist churches teaching this. That Jesus never was the Word or the Spirit. He was flesh. But the Bible says that Jesus was God's only begotten Son. Now, when I tried to explain to this gentleman that I would appreciate if he would not go around telling people I didn't believe in that Jesus was the eternal Son of God, because I certainly did, I instructed him of the Gospel of John chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see, Jesus was not in the flesh as Jesus in heaven. He was the Word of God. And then God made him to be flesh. Well, this man was hearing none of that, and he just got outraged. And he claimed that Jesus was always in the flesh in heaven. Well, this is a reminder to me. It's very similar in a sense to what the Mormons believe, that Jesus was in the flesh in heaven before he came to earth. And this is just not so. Here again we have another Jesus. Well, for now, this is Tex Mars inviting you to believe in the real Jesus of the Bible. He loved you. He gave his very life on the cross for you. He raised himself from the dead, and he lives forevermore. And he wants you to know him as Lord and Savior. And he calls on all men to repent.
That, friends, is the conclusion of our series on the millionaire from Nazareth and 1,001 other false Jesuses. I'm Pastor Tex Mars of Bible Home Church. It's been wonderful for you to be with us during this worship as we looked at the Word of God and also exposed some of the false teachings that are being spread throughout the world by deceivers. Well, next week, we're going to begin a very, very thrilling new series of programs entitled How to Have Victory Over the Devil. How to Have Victory Over the Devil. You know, even the Apostle Paul said that he had a thorn in the flesh, and he just felt wretched, and he wanted God to take him on home. You know, I believe that we're all subject and vulnerable to temptations. And unfortunately, too many of us yield without understanding the incredible strength and power that is found in God's Word. But in this upcoming series of sermons, How to Have Victory Over the Devil, I think you're going to be very, very pleased. I get so many letters from folks that say, Tex, I just can't seem to make it. I don't have the strength to withstand temptation. Well, I understand that. Friends, in my own self, I don't have the strength either, but through Christ Jesus and through the guidelines he has given us in his Word, you will be pleased at this upcoming series of messages. So make sure you tune in. Now, I want to mention today a few things. We only have a couple of minutes here until the conclusion of today's worship program. I thought I'd mention some letters that we're getting from people. You know, we've received letters recently from Ireland, from Romania, and even from Zimbabwe and Africa, from people telling us that they too are forming home churches. And of course, here at Bible Home Church, we really encourage anyone throughout the world who wants to form a church based on the book of Acts to do so. Now, it doesn't take a lot of brain work. A lot of people say, how can I do it? Well, it's very simple. Just invite friends over. Even put a little ad sometime in the classified, your local newspaper. Are there any King James believers out there? Come to our home this Sunday. Let's have Bible church. You see, let the word get out and God will bring the people. And I believe you'll be blessed by it. And this is especially true if you can't find a church in your home area that really teaches from the King James Bible, the Word of God. Here's just a little email we've got. It says, Dear Tex, we appreciate the work you're doing. We encourage you continue. And it's signed Disciples in Zimbabwe. Here's a letter I got from a gentleman in Appleton, Wisconsin. I'm not going to read it all to you, but he says, Dear Tex, here is a two paydays tithe to Bible Home Church. Then he asked a favor. He asked, would the people of Bible Home Church please ask the Lord to provide him with his refreshing in every area of his life for the purposes of God's glory? Now, you know, I like a prayer like that. This man says, I need the Lord to refresh me in my life. Why? For the purposes of his, that is God's glory. You know, this is a very unselfish request, and without me giving you the name of this brother from Appleton, Wisconsin, I'm asking you, my friends, to pray for him. God knows his name. Please pray for him. Here's another gentleman who wrote to me. I'm not going to tell you where he's from either. Well, I will tell you where he's from. I'm not going to tell you his name. Corpus Christi, Texas. And this Christian brother said that he's been having a lot of problems at work because he's been standing up for Christ, and he needs our prayers. So please pray for him as well. And friends, pray for the success of Bible Home Church, that we'll have the funds and the strength to continue this program. So until next week, when we examine how to have victory over the devil, this is Tex Mars. Thank you for tuning in to Bible Home Church.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.